On this Good Friday evening, we have a chance not only to think about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but also about the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment, of course, is the commandment to honor your father and your mother. This we see Jesus doing right here. He's living that perfect life of righteousness even while suffering on the cross. We needed Jesus to die for our sins on the cross, of course. That's what we've talked about. But we also have needed Jesus to satisfy all righteousness, all obedience in our place, for us, on our behalf. And of course, Jesus did that all His life. He lived a life sinless, in perfect righteousness. And now we see Him doing that all the way to the end. That even while He hung there dying for us, He did what righteousness demanded. Even as He hung there suffering, He looked to honor that fifth commandment, to honor your father and your mother. Let's begin then by thinking of how Jesus honored His mother here. Start by putting yourself in Mary's shoes. Think of all the sorrows that she must have gone through. And surely think back even before just this event here at the cross. This whole time with Jesus as He's growing up and up to this day, it must have all been quite a ride up to that point. You could only imagine what Mary had to go through in all of this. You know, on the one hand, she had the honor to bear the Messiah through the virgin birth. On the other hand, you could imagine some of the things people might have said about her as she had this virgin birth. Probably would have thought she had some indiscretion that resulted in her being pregnant with this child. And of course, Jesus in His ministry had caused quite an uproar. You can imagine a mother hearing about your son in the headlines all the time. Think of the worry that would have been involved for a mother as you see the sort of tension that's going on all associated with your son. And now for her to have to watch her son condemned to death and hanging there, dying on the cross. Surely that must have pierced Mary's heart. Of course, I can say that with great certainty, because the Scriptures actually had predicted that. You might recall maybe something you reflected on during a Christmas sermon at some point, that when Mary and Joseph took the baby Jesus to present Jesus at the temple, they ran into this gentleman named Simeon. And Simeon gave a prophecy to Mary and said this in Luke chapter 2, verses 34 and 35. Simeon said, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And so, Simeon had told Mary long before that one day her very soul would be pierced because of Jesus. Surely that was coming to pass as she had to watch her son die on the cross. Given that in the very next chapter in John's Gospel, we see that Peter and John, you know, two of the closest disciples to Jesus, that they still seemed uncertain about the resurrection, that they still seemed unsure that Christ was supposed to rise from the dead. We really have no reason to believe that Mary had some greater insight than they did. That surely as she watched Jesus die, that she might have thought that was it. Surely full of the most intense grief and sorrow. And yet, amidst the sorrow of a mother losing her son, Jesus honors her. Jesus lives out the physical obligations that a son has for his mother. What I mean is this. You might recall, a few weeks back, we ordained David Young as a deacon in our church, and we had a sermon from 1 Timothy chapter 5. And it was in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that we saw the children of widows have an obligation to care for their widows who have no one else to take care of them. 1 Timothy 5 says that's godliness, that's piety. That caring for your widowed mother was your obligation, your duty as a mother who had cared for you when you had, when you needed care. Now in her time of need, children were to return that unto the mother. In Timothy 5 it says that such care of your mother is good and acceptable before God. In other words, this is all an expression of living out that fifth commandment. Honoring your father and mother is not something you do only until you turn 18 and move out of the house. No, this is especially a time to honor your mother. It's like righteousness 101, so to speak, that when your widowed mother is in need, you're there to care for her. Well, this is essentially what seems to be going on in this passage. Now, to be fair, we don't know with 100% certainty that Mary was a widow at this point, but certainly all evidence suggests that she was. The gospel accounts stop talking about Joseph back in the early birth narratives. All the later accounts with regard to Mary only talk about Mary, and sometimes with regard to Mary and Jesus' other siblings. The silence of Joseph at that point is surely because Joseph was no longer alive. That's been the consensus understanding in the church. And so here, Jesus is basically asking his disciple John to care for his mother who is now a widow. He's asking John to take Mary now as his sort of adopted mother. By the way, John is the author of this gospel, and he's the one we should understand to be referred to here in this passage when it's describing this disciple whom Jesus loved. It seems in John's gospel that was his way to refer to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. You could tell they had a very close relationship. And so Mary and John are both standing there before Jesus as he's hanging on the cross. And Jesus turns to his mother Mary and says, "Behold your son." And he turns to John and says, "Behold your mother." Again, this is basically adoption. Jesus is telling them they're now adopted family. And of course, this would be a blessing to both. But it certainly came with responsibilities as well. John particularly is being obligated here by Jesus. He needs to now care for Mary. And we have no doubt as that's the right interpretation, because that's exactly what he goes to do then. As we read on, it says that from that very hour, he takes her into his home. Again, recall 1 Timothy 5. Godliness says children care for their widow mothers. That's what Jesus is essentially asking John to do at this point. And so again, we're not told how John verbally responded. Likely he did verbally acknowledge this request. But the actions are told to us here. The very action that he at that very hour takes her into his home is his way of accepting this responsibility that Jesus has asked of him. Of course, surely at that very hour is so needed for Mary and for John. The mourning of losing their beloved Jesus. Surely now more than ever, they needed each other. And so don't miss how Jesus, as he's hanging there on the cross, still has the concern to do the righteous, godly thing. Even while hanging there on the cross, bearing God's wrath for sin, he's concerned of what righteousness demands. Even then, he's still concerned for others. And I mean here specifically, not just for people's spiritual needs, but even their physical, earthly needs. I mean, we know why he's on the cross, right? It's to care for people's spiritual needs, so they'd be forgiven of their sins. But Jesus didn't use that as a reason to stop caring about people's earthly physical needs at the same time. I mean, you could have imagined how someone else might have thought that or responded that way. You could have imagined someone saying something like, "Hey guys, I know this is all hard for you, but I am the one actually up here. I'm glad you're sorry, but I'm the one actually having to go through this. He didn't tell his mom, sorry, Mom, I'm a little too busy right now to help you because I'm up here paying for the sins of the world. He didn't say that. You might have expected that from someone else. We wouldn't expect that from Jesus. Jesus always shows concern for the whole of people. So even as he's up there bearing the wrath of sin, he still does a further act of righteousness. He takes the energy to address some physical earthly needs. What a wonderful picture then of how both of these things are important to God. Physical earthly needs and spiritual eternal needs. Both of those are important to God. Both of those are important to Jesus. Certainly there's an application to us there and the ministry of the church. Certainly that's why the church has both elders and deacons. You know, roughly you can think about how the elders particularly look to focus on those spiritual needs within the life of the congregation, and the deacons especially look to focus on those physical needs in the life of the congregation. But God has churches have both. Because together as a church, we ought to be concerned for both. And so Jesus honored his mother. Of course, we mentioned he did this while dying on the cross for sin. And so we realize that he not only honored his mother up there, but he also honored his father. Talking now about his heavenly father. Two chapters before in this book, John chapter 17, we see Jesus praying to his heavenly father. And what becomes very clear in that prayer is that his whole mission on earth was what the Father gave him to do. The Father had given him this work to be done. And it was his delight to honor his Father by living out this work. You might recall the Garden of Gethsemane and the prayer recorded there. So he's praying to his heavenly Father. We see the difficulty of the work that's ahead for him. But in the end, what does he do? He submits to honor his Father. He says, not as I will, but as you will. We see the difficulty of the cross when he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Isaiah 53:10 says it was God's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. Why? It says that his life would be a guilt offering for sin. Enduring the shame of the cross was no easy task. But Jesus honored his heavenly Father through his obedience, even in giving up his life. Of course, Jesus was fulfilling a spiritual mission when he did this. As much as we noted, he cared for Mary's physical needs, he also has in mind spiritual needs. God's people have the greatest need of a spiritual matter. It's that problem of sin. That sin separates us from God, that we're under eternal damnation. We wouldn't have eternal life if he didn't go to the cross. We'd be condemned and have everlasting death. We read the Ten Commandments earlier, and you might have noticed on the fifth commandment that there was a promise attached to that fifth commandment. And the irony here is Jesus is living out this fifth commandment. He doesn't get what that promise entails. It says in Exodus, for example, Exodus 20, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The very promise attached to the command of honoring your father and mother is that you have long days. And of course, as Jesus honors his mother right there, his days are very short. He has literally moments left, frankly. Of course, we know why. There's a real sense here of which Jesus doesn't immediately receive that promise of long days so that we would receive it. Isn't that what he did, right? He honored the father and mother in order that we would be beneficiaries of his righteousness. Because he did this righteousness, we have long days, the long days of everlasting life. the long days of living with God in that new promised land, the new heavens and the new earth. Of course, we remember that Jesus will be there too. Surely, that's because of His all-surpassing righteousness, that He's able to overcome the curse of death and rise again on the third day. And join with us then in that promise of long life, eternal life, as He overcomes death, as He overcomes sin. We then reign together with Him for eternity. And so as we think about Jesus honoring His mother here in this passage, we remember that He especially honored His heavenly Father. And the results of this are awesome, mighty, wonderful. That's why we celebrate them. And think of some examples from this passage how we see the wonderful results of the cross. Two examples really stick out to me that because He honored His Father, because He did this spiritual mission that dealt with sin, we see some immediate ramifications. And I have in mind Mary and John here. Let's think about Mary first. It was Jesus' death on the cross that was His ultimate ministry to Mary. Sure, this was wonderful what He did here in connecting her with John. That was an important way He ministered to her. But think about it. As Mary's standing there, what is she full of? She's full of grief and sorrow because she's thinking she's going to be separated from her son. But if Jesus didn't die on the cross, she would end up being separated from her son for all eternity. Just like all of us. It was actually His spiritual mission on the cross of pain, even for Mary's sin, that her sorrow will turn to joy, that she's able then to spend eternity now with her son. And so the spiritual mission of Jesus is even more important in that regard than the physical ministry He does for her. Well, then take that and apply now this to John. Think of the benefit John receives here because Jesus honored the Father to go to the cross. Remember what John had just done up to this point. Even though right now he's standing here, right before Jesus, remember what he had just got done doing. He had abandoned Jesus. He had forsook Jesus. That's what Matthew 26:56 says, that all the disciples, when Jesus was arrested, forsook Him and fled. Of course, of all the disciples, it seems that John was the quickest to regain courage and ended up now being here where he should have been the whole time, standing by Jesus. But don't miss, nonetheless, that great betrayal that he did have. Again, you might imagine how someone else might respond if it wasn't Jesus hanging there on the cross. If it was someone else hanging there and saw his fair weather friend now come back to the stand there and watch him die, such another person might have said, like, "Oh, now you come back. Some friend you were last night." But not Jesus. Jesus doesn't say that. In fact, it would betray everything Jesus is doing there on the cross as he hung there. Jesus was on the cross because of sin, such like John had just done. Because in different ways, God's disciples have betrayed Him and turned their back on Him. Jesus' honoring of His Father was to save people such as John from their past, present, and future sin. And so our passage actually exemplifies this spiritual significance of Jesus' ministry. Not just the physical aspect of Him honoring His mother, but the even greater spiritual significance of redeeming. And this is wonderful when we see how God does that with John here. See, when we're forgiven, the significance of Christ on the cross is not just that we're forgiven, but were redeemed even to a point of usefulness. See, when John's forgiven here and entrusted with this task, it shows that God has a use for John. And that's part of our salvation too. Is He saves us to then use us. Well, you know something else here that we see of the spiritual significance of what Jesus is doing here is how He brings together His disciples now as family. That's what it meant for John and Mary to be adopted like this. They were now family. But that's how all God's people now relate to each other in Christ. We are now all family. We see that elsewhere in Scripture, but what a beautiful picture of it right here. You know, we know from Scripture that at this time Jesus did have other brothers. Brothers according to the flesh I'm talking about. We know that at least James and Jude of his brothers were still alive because they end up writing the letters in the New Testament by their names. And yet, interestingly, Jesus doesn't call either of them to take on this special role with Mary. Now, we don't know why. We have to acknowledge. We don't know why He didn't call them to do that. A good possibility is that maybe they weren't believers at this point. Earlier in John's Gospel, it talks about Jesus' brothers, and it's very clear in John 7, verse 5, that the rest of His brothers did not believe in Him at that point. Presumably, it was the resurrection that finally brought them to a point of faith. And at this point, we do not see His physical brother James, we're talking half-brother at this point, if you want to use that language, His brothers James and John standing there. We don't see them standing there with Mary, His mother. We see Mary's sister standing there, surely comforting Mary, but not James and John. I'm sorry, James and Jude, excuse me. James and Jude, His half-brothers, if you want to call them that. And I don't want to give too bad a rap about James and Jude here. Scripture is silent about where they were really at, so we can't say more than that, but the silence is at least suggestive. But what is clear is that Jesus picked someone who was not at all physically related to Mary to adopt her into His home. Because in Christ, we are now family. Christians are spiritually family. This too, because of Christ's death on the cross. And so Christ's honoring of His Father by going to the cross meant eternal life. Redemption from sin. We've seen that with Mary and John, and it's the case for us as well. Jesus' honoring of His Father by dying on the cross, it means our salvation. If we put our faith in Him. If we put our faith in Him, we are forgiven. We're redeemed. We're saved by grace through faith. Because of the cross, because of what He did there, because He died in our place, we're saved. We have our sorrow turned to joy. We have this redemption from sin, even if we've forsaken Jesus in the past. And now we're put in new positions to serve Christ. And so on the cross, Jesus gave Mary a new son. And on the cross, Jesus gave John a new mother. And on the cross, He gave us a new Father. Our Heavenly Father. Ephesians 1:5, if we're in Christ, we are adopted as sons of God. And so, saints, today, behold Christ. Behold the Son hanging on the cross. Behold Him as your Savior and Lord. And if you behold Him as such, then behold your Father in heaven who loves you. Behold that you are His son or daughter. And behold one another, fellow Christians, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers in the Lord. Behold all this because Christ died for you. Christ, who honored his father and his mother so that all this would be realized. This is what we behold again on Good Friday. And so, Trinity Presbyterian Church, may we look to honor our father and mother. And may we look to honor our heavenly Father. And may we look to honor all those who become family in Christ. None of these things are at odds with one another. All of these things are part of now how we live our new life in Christ. By extension, may we look to honor both our earthly commitments and our spiritual ones. We can and should help people with their physical needs and even their spiritual needs. Let us in Christ look to do all things well. Some of the things God will call us to do in terms of serving Him will be difficult, but trust that He'll give you the grace that will provide the strength and the gifting to honor Him in all that we do. Amen. Let's pray.